V'yarenis Yoshua, HaKohen HaGadol, Omed Lifnei Malach Hashem, V'asatan Omed Al Yimino L'sipno.
Okay, then I continued in the same vision. Remember, these are all dreams. Zechariah went to sleep, and the first six chapters of this book is what he saw in that night. Okay? That's why he keeps saying, and he showed me. God showed me in the vision. Yoshua the Kohen Gadol, he recognizes him. Okay? He is standing before the angel who was directing me through in these visions, right? Remember that? And there was the Satan. The Satan. Okay? Can you look in Targum? No, you don't have Targum. Alan, can you find the Targum to the word Satan? Because there's a great, great controversy in the commentaries and the philosophers, in Jewish philosophy in itself, whether the Satan that Christianity believes is like the Antichrist, whether Judaism believes that there is a being, a separate being, an angel, or whatever it is called, the Satan. What is the Targum to the word Satan? Malach Hashem, Malach Hashem, V'chata'o. Obviously, Targum does not feel that Satan is a being. It only exists. So what is the Satan? Chata'o, some sin. Some sin that is surrounding Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. Okay, so what I'm saying here is that it looks like there is a being called Satan, right? Who's standing on the right of Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, and he is Lishitno, he is Mastin. In this past week's parasha told us, there are some very good words that explain to us what Satan is. For instance, when the Philistines fought with Yitzchak and chased him away from his well, what did he call that first well? Sitna. When Esav hated Yaakov because of the bracha, what does the pasuk say? Vayistom Esav es Yaakov al habracha shebercho aviv. What do we call a rebellious woman against her husband? Sota. All right. So all of this comes to say that if we tie all these thoughts together, it means someone who comes to thwart another person's plan. Someone who comes this is what you want to do, but I'm not going to let you do it. Like when it says Hashem made Ben Hadad to be a Satan against Shlomo because of his sins. Right? So let's go on to see what this Satan is doing. Vayomer Hashem el Satan. So Hashem tells the Satan, what is your first name? I'm sorry.
Netanel.
Yes, would you read the pasuk base?
Vayomer Hashem el Satan, Yigar Hashem Becha HaSatan, Yigar Hashem Becha HaBocher Birshalayim, Haloze Ud Utamesh.
Hashem says to the Satan, I rebuke you, O Satan. So does the one who chooses Yerushalayim rebuke you. Okay? God being the HaBocher Yerushalayim. It should be how your English reads it, but I admit there are other readings of that. But it means that the Satan is trying to do something against Yerushalayim here. Halo ze ud mutzal me'esh. Don't you realize that he is a brand spared from the fire? Have to see what that means. Okay, v'Yoshua haya lavush begodim tzoim v'omed lifnei ha'malach. Yoshua was wearing putrid clothing, standing before the angel, right? And when they was redalad, v'ya'an v'yomer ala umdim.
V'ya'an v'yomer ala umdim v'chonot l'mor. V'shira begodim ha'tzoim v'yomer ala v'rei v'arki v'oleh onesh v'vesh osko v'chala tzos.
Okay. Vayan, he tells those who are standing, remember we still have all those men amongst the Hadashim. Remember that's Ha'omdim, people are standing. Within the vision, more and more people keep standing. But they remain exactly in their place.
They're still there?
So, yeah, we'll see what all these standing people are, because they're gonna come up again. Okay? And he says, remove those putrid clothes from yourself.
So
okay? And Hashem says, see, I have removed your sin from you, and I'm putting upon you new garments. Just pasuk hey, but Omar. One more pasuk. So.
Omar yasimu tzanif tahor al rosho veyasimu hatzanif tahor al rosho. Ve'avishu begadim u'malach Hashem omeh.
Okay. Let's put the tzanif, which is some kind of crown. Put a tzanif on his head. A pure one. Maybe like the tzitz. And we'll put him on new clothing, because you know the Kohen Gadol needs special clothing. And the angel stood there. Okay, let's see what this is. You have to represent as many of these things as possible. And he sees the Kohen Gadol with a Satan against him. Let's start with Rashi's opinion that the Satan that is coming against him has to do with his sons. Okay, does anyone remember what that is?
Why his sons weren't worthy.
Not only were they not worthy, take a look at Rashi, the Pasuk Aleph. Says, "Lahaskino al shayu banov nisuot noshim akum, kimo shekatuv b'sefer Ezra, vayim tzom mibnei hakohanim asher hoshivu noshim nechriot mibnei Yeshu ben Yehud Tzadok." So, we see that his own two sons were listed amongst those who were intermarried at the time. And that is the nature of his putrid clothing. Ibn Ezra sharply disagrees with this. The reason why Ibn Ezra disagrees with this has to do with Haggai. I'm going to present to you, since you all know what Haggai is about, is that Ibn Ezra claims that Yehoshua Kohen Gadol died right after this. What's his proof? Let's see how you accept this. His proof is that Haggai also mentioned Yehoshua Kohen Gadol and Zerubbabel to deliver his message. But at the end of the book, the message is only delivered by Zerubbabel. It's a pretty decent proof. This is supposed to be a message delivered by both. Plus, do you remember in Haggai there was a certain question that we asked of the Kohanim? Remember that?
Right.
Got the garment with the holy meat inside, with the tummy meat inside. Remember, we learned different opinions of that. The simplest being that tumma is more easily transferred than tahara, right? The tummy meat inside the garment, right, made the other foods be tummy, even like that. But the kodesh meat can only make kodesh if it touches it directly. Remember that? Tumma spread more easily, so be careful when you're building this base of mikdash. Then we saw different interpretations of what that means. But that was so Ibn Ezra claims that the whole point of that question was for Kohanim who didn't appear quite ready to run a new base of mikdash. If Yehoshua Kohen Gadol was alive, why would he be giving tests to the Kohanim? He should be giving tests to the one who's at their head. Let him give them the test. But Yehoshua Kohen Gadol's absence in that test, according to Ibn Ezra, testifies to his death or his disappearance. The fact that he's not mentioned at all at the end of the book, when he was the one who was supposed to deliver the message, proves it, according to Ibn Ezra.
Maybe he's saving some iron after this.
What is the point, though, if Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is dead by the end of Haggai? I don't have Rashi in front of you, but the point is that if Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is I'm losing my voice, I'm not sure why. If Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is supposed to be wearing these putrid clothing because of his son's intermarriage. Now, I must tell you, I'm not sure, this is Ibn Ezra's proof, I'm not sure where it's going. But he says that the Psukim and Sefer Ezra that speak of that intermarriage is 30-40 years from now. Right? Why should Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, who's dead 30 years before his son's intermarried, be put to calumny because of something his sons are going to do after he dies? What can I say? That's life. You know, that sometimes is going to happen. Do you know right now if, you know that Rabbeinu Gershom had a son who converted to Christianity?
Really?
You know that?
No.
Do you know whether it happened before he died or not? How would you know? I don't know if you care or not, but how does Ibn Ezra so sure that these boys were not intermarried from before? Just because the listing was made 30, 40 years later? How does he? I don't know. But Ibn Ezra claims that the whole putrid clothing is a whole different thing. He says, the only reason why he says I can't assume that it comes from the intermarriage, he admits that those boys were intermarried. He just can't believe that it took place during Yoshua's life. Ibn Ezra's point, though, his parish is a good parish. His explanation is that the putrid clothing of the Kohen Gadol, why go through great lengths and mental gymnastics to explain that in terms of his sons, when it's pashut what it meant? It meant that you're building this second temple now, which has great potential to be beautiful. And Chagai said that it's going to be even more beautiful than the first. Just right now, it's not. In fact, the clothing that they put together for the Kohen Gadol to wear was disgusting. It was putrid. It wasn't worthy. But the clothing just represents something. The clothing represents the fact that the Jews were not dedicating themselves appropriately to this rebuilding process. The putrid clothing, according to Ibn Ezra, represents this very ill effort on their part to make this Chagai's vision come true. And you know what? You have to remove this putrid clothing, and you have to put on new clothes. You have to renew your effort and do something else. Right? That's Ibn Ezra's approach. Now let me tell you about Abravanel's approach. Okay. Abravanel says, of course, that since this is the introduction to the Chanukah story, to the Zun, because the representation of the Chanukah story is so clear here. How could Zechariah know he's talking about the Chanukah story? Listen to the elements of our story. I'm giving you a foreshadowing now. A, we're talking about a menorah whose oil is, you know, may threaten to run out, but will always be an everlasting source because there are two trees, olive trees, leading into the receptacles. Meaning that I'll always make sure that your oil doesn't run out. Two, there's a battle in the middle of the story that is won not with koach, but with the Spirit of God. Doesn't that seem to refer to the war against the Greeks? Rabim biad ma'atim, right? Zedim biad askeitar secha. Okay? And furthermore, at least according to Rashi, we have an assimilation aspect. Isn't what led to the Chanukah story isn't it precisely the assimilation of the Mityavnim? Right? Isn't that so? Okay, so we have all these aspects of the Chanukah story, and what is happening here is Abravanel saying that the Satan represents something very negative that turned out from Yoshua Kohen Gadol. What, I mean, it's so partial. The Chanukah story comes from Kohanim, right? Okay, so the Kohanim, namely the Chashmonoim, however, had a great satan attached to them. What would that be?
You. That they took the kingship?
That they took the kingship when they shouldn't have, and? Right?
They
fought? Well, the Baranel just says that the kahuna became very corrupt at the time. Right? Kohen Gadol was starting to push their position. Right? You have a Mishnah in the Sechus Horios that says, Mamzer Talmud Chochem Kodim Kohen Gadol Amoretz. What's a Mishnah talking about a Kohen Gadol Amoretz, right? So because they were Amoratzim. Some of those Kohen Gadols at the end weren't even Kohanim, for goodness sake.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right? They weren't even from Shevet Levi. Right? So that is what the Satan who's coming to accuse the Kohanim. Right? So Hashem says, listen, the Chanukah story is a beautiful story. We're going to celebrate the festival for a long, long time. Right? In fact, the Chassam Sofer says that the reason why Mishnayos does not mention Chanukah, the halachos of Chanukah, we have the halachos of Purim in the Mishnah, the Sefer Megillah, the laws of Chanukah is a tangent in the Sechah Shabbos to the laws of lighting Shabbos candles. Right? There's no Mishnah that mentions Hanukkah. Yeah, it's true, there's a Mishnah in Bava Kamma that mentions it just as a passing, and the Mishnah in Moed Katan that mentions Hanukkah in passing. But other than that, Mishnayos does not care to refer at all to Hanukkah. The reason for that is because Rebbe wrote the Mishnah. Remember, Rebbe is a direct descendant of David HaMelech. Rebbe did not like what the Hashmonaim families turned out to be. Right? With Aristobulus and Hyrcanus and those bad guys who enlisted the Romans to solve their issues. That's how all the problems began that led to the Chorban. So that's the Satan, right? But don't blame Yehoshua Kohen Gadol for that. He's an Ud Mutzal Me'esh. You know, don't blame the guys at first. In fact, the Satan, according to Abravanel, is Antiochus. Okay? And there's a kahuna that's going to come against Antiochus, but that kahuna is going to turn bad itself. And that is represented by the putrid clothing. The kahuna gedola has this great grandeur, but it turned putrid on us because these kohanim took to the kingdom and now we have to remove those clothing. The only way that the kingdom can have a future is if we rid the kingdom of kings who are kohanim. It's not going to work. Okay? So he says, I remove the clothing from you, right? And I want to put the tzitz, the holy, the pure head plate on your head, because that's what you're supposed to wear. You're not supposed to wear a crown, you're just supposed to wear the tzitz. Alright? So those are the three opinions. So let's see, let's go to Pasuk Vav, Perikim of Pasuk Vav. Okay. Do you have a Tanakh? You want to read?
Come, I am not starting the Kachai Terech, and that is Marti Tishma. Come, I thought that you had to see the Gam Tishma of Patera, and I thought you the Chame Hachim, then I'm being my Erech.
Good. Okay, so these are the omdim we said before that Zechariah saw cropping up all throughout his vision. We saw three references to omdim already, and at first they were bein ha-hadasim, amongst the hadasim, the myrtles, which Rashi said were the tzaddikim of that generation. And here he's saying, I'm going to give you mahalchim bein ha-omdim ha-eil, a lot of musar on this. Mahalchim, you see, angels are omdim, right? Because they can't go anywhere. They're stationary. They can't get higher. They can't get lower, right? People have a chance to be mahalchim. You can go someplace, right? You know, we always say that you never stay in one place. If you're not going up, you're going down, right? Someone says, you know, in a relationship, you say, can't we just stay as we are right now? You don't like to hear that, right? That's flatlining. Okay, so that is so you're saying, but here's what this pasuk is very significant. This is really the linchpin pasuk of the Nevuah, where Zechariah is telling his audience that these prophecies I'm giving you are very much contingent on your behavior. It's great potential for what can be, but only in Mishmarti Tishmor. So Dines Beisi, Gam Tishmor Eschatzeroi. You've got to guard this place. You've got to make sure it doesn't become a den of iniquity like it became in the time of Yirmiyahu. You have to make sure that people don't commit murder in these places like in the days of Yishayahu. Okay? The prophets really, really spoke of the place this way. Right? You've got to see that this has not become this. Okay? Right? Okay, so let's see what the exhortation is. And this is a great, great pasuk. This pasuk ches, Perigimel pasuk ches, I actually related to earlier when we spoke of the different names of Mashiach. I think we mentioned earlier. He says, Shmanu Yahushua Kohen Gadol Atar Bereicha Yoshuim Lefanecha Ki Anshei Mofeis Heimo Ki Nini Mevias Avi Tzemach. Right? So he says, listen to Yahushua Kohen Gadol. You know your friends who are with you, all these omdim. Right? Now Rashi says Hanani Mishal Vazaria. That would be Daniel's friends. Right? Rashi just cares to identify these omdim. These are wondrous, miraculous people. Miracles are ready to be done for these people, because I'm bringing my servant Tzemach. This is why I believe the Babich, the third Rebbe, which Rebbe was the Tzemach Tzedek, the third. Mm-hmm. So the word Tzemach became a. It's always been a. a very important name for Mashiach, not only because it's this pasuk, but also Yirmiyahu, for instance, in Perkov Gimel, referred to the Savior as the Tzemach Tzedakah. Later in the book, he refers to him as the Tzemach Tzadik. Yirmiyahu, Perkov Gimel, and Lama Gimel. And also, when we refer to, let's say, Medina Yisrael, Reishis Tzmichas Geulaseinu, because Kachi Geulaseinu, it's a Tzmicha. Doesn't sprout up all at once. Comes in stages, slowly, slowly. You will not see it just all. You have to just follow it, just like you can't see a flower just sprout all at once. You see it slowly, slowly. Okay. So, that being said, the name of Mashiach as Tzemach is like we say in the davening, Es Tzemach David Abduchamir as Tzmiach. Okay. Matzmiach Karen Yeshua. It all comes from this pasuk. Okay, very cryptic pasuk coming up. Levi, would you take us to pasuk test?
Nu'am Adonai Tzvat Vot U'metzutei Ein Et
Avon
Ha'eret Ha'yi Ha'yom Echad.
Okay. So he says, this stone I have given to you, Yeshua Kohen Gadol. On this one stone there are seven eyes. I'm going to open them up. And I'm going to wipe away the sin of the people in one day. Sin of the land. All in one day. Rashi writes, Lo yadati eze yom. I don't know what day that's talking about. Why not Yom Kippur? What are these seven eyes? And so what could be is that the seven eyes are the words Avdi Tzemach. That's seven letters in them. Or the message that he's giving them. Umashti es avon ha'aretz ha'hi b'yom echad. Ibn Ezra suggests both of those. So that is the let's see how Perek Yud ends. How Perek Kimmel ends. It says b'yom ahunu Hashem tzvakos tikru ish l're'eu el tachas gefen el tachas te'ino. And we saw that those are the fruits that are throughout the Bible.
The grapes and the dates.
Those are the fruits of prosperity.
So it's the wine, but also the blessing, which gefen represents the blessings of our hearts.
Okay, we have Tena is a fig, but not a date. But certainly, I'll give you that which is the source of blessing. Well, thank you very much. Good night.